Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, founder of the Dementia Whisperers Incorporated. Laura Wayman, nationally recognized expert on dementia and author of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, published by Johns Hopkins University Press, joins you and 16 million caregivers with real answers and help, with love, wisdom, and compassion for your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in at 929-477-1393. That's 929-477-1393. And now, live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Well, welcome once again to Live with the Dementia Whisperer. This is co-host Scott Cluthy, and we are live. We'll be joining Laura and our very special guests from Brookdale out in Vacaville, California, in just a minute or two. Are you caring for a loved one, a resident, or a client who's presenting dementia symptoms and challenging behaviors? Our vision is to open up discussion in order to greatly improve quality of care and excellence in service to individuals with Alzheimer's disease or any dementia and related illnesses, and to lend a reassuring hand to their caregivers and families, of course. This is an interactive call-in show. We want to hear from our listeners, and that call-in line is 929-477-1393. You want to write that down because our first two callers today will receive a free copy of Laura Wayman's A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, Making Meaningful Connections with the Person Who Has Alzheimer's Disease or Other Dementia or Memory Loss. That's right. So a free copy of the book to you for calling in and contributing to the show. I will also open up the chat box. Some people don't want to be on the air, but they do have questions or comments. You can put those in the chat box. Forgive me, I haven't got it open yet, but I'll do that while we talk to now the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Scott, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. I'm always so honored to be with you today, and I want our listening audience to know what a tried and true professional you are. Can you take just a minute and tell our listeners about you, Scott? I know they want to hear all about you.
Oh, well, I guess so. I don't know, but I thank you for that, Laura, to give me a platform to do that each show. But a lot of people associate me with radio from my years with Sirius Satellite Radio, at least those who heard me, all those truckers out there, Canada coast to coast and all that. But I've also been involved in media, many other kinds of media, some broadcast TV and video production as a producer, a script writer, and a cameraman, and all those sorts of things. In fact, I was very fortunate to have Laura ask me to produce a marketing video for her to present herself to agencies and companies. So that's where we really bonded our relationship many years ago now. The clock keeps ticking. And my latest project was really, it's not like fireworks, but it's very important. It's for a wonderful attorney here in Houston. Her name is Angela Odensky, and she specializes in guardianship, wills, estate planning. This is one of the major issues for families and for caregivers and for senior citizens. And of course, as many things like this, like taxes, we wait until the last minute. And that's sort of like the worst thing you can do. So I've been videotaping her, creating video modules of the presentation she does to explain the basics. And it can make your head spin. And there's so many ins and outs. And every state has different laws and different regulations. So she, of course, focuses on Texas guardianship, wills, and estate planning. So that's very rewarding. So thank you for letting me share that, Laura.
Absolutely, and I do want to let our listeners know that the marketing video that you produced for me was so wonderful, and it really is timeless because I just sent it out back into social media. It it has all the information about how the Dementia Whisperer can help you. And it is just timely right now. I do want anyone who is listening to understand that if they would like to see that video, it runs about 3.5 minutes long, I believe. But if any organization is needing my assistance, and many organizations do, I would like them to know that it is available. I can, and I'm happy to talk with them. There are so many different ways that the Dementia Whisperer can help you. So, our dear listening audience, we want you to know you are not alone. If you have any worries, concerns, or anxieties, or you need advice, inspiration, or encouragement on your dementia journey, you've certainly tuned into the right place. Stay with us today. This hour, we will be taking your calls, talking about the newest information on the causes of dementia, how to better manage the symptoms, and spending some time learning about dementia from a very different perspective. Well, today, our show is focusing on exceptional senior living. So we're so happy that you've joined me, the Dementia Whisperer, Scott Cluthie, and a few of the amazing staff here at Brookdale Vacaville, and we are broadcasting live from this beautiful location. Now, Vacaville is in Northern California, and the Brookdale here in Vacaville, this is an exceptional assisted living and memory care community. They serve seniors and their families from Vacaville and also Fairfield and other surrounding towns here in Solano County. We're a little bit southwest of Sacramento. So if the senior in your life, we want you to know the senior in your life doesn't have to choose between independence or assistance. When you need to suggest an assisted living community, it can be a very emotional journey for any caregiver who's dealing with a loved one, a client, or a patient with dementia. And we want to approach the topic in a most respectful and dignified way. That's why Brookdale here can offer guidance and resources. And you're going to listen on the show. You're going to learn to make this a more natural and welcomed conversation about certain options. All you have to do is call in live and ask questions about this topic and our discussion today. Scott, would you mind doing, you always do such a wonderful introduction. Can you introduce our guest today?
Well, yes, I certainly can. And we're fortunate to have many aspects of the Vacaville Brookdale with us today. And so first, I want to say hello to Joe Dunham. He's the executive director for Brookdale Vacaville. And Joe, we're so glad to have you with us live on the show today.
Thank you, Scott. It's great to be here with Laura. I don't get nearly enough opportunity to work with Laura, but every chance we get, we work together, and she's just helped me out so much. So I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing to talk a little later about, Joe, is how was your perspective, your priority, your understanding, even your paradigm on dementia shifted working with Laura. And of course, that also includes a great member of your team. It's Ada Ray. And Ada, welcome to Live with the Dementia Whisperer. How are you?
I'm good, Scott. Thank you for having me.
And I understand you are a lot of the outreach there. You do a lot of the marketing. What are some of the things that you're involved in with Brookdale at Vacaville?
So I do a lot of sales and outreach, meeting with people and families at a skilled nursing, at home, at the hospital when they're in crisis, but also when families are just looking for options when they walk in the door and, you know, something's going on with my mom. I don't know what to do. So they walk in the door and they just are looking for resources, looking for information. So
critical. The tipping point where people start to interact with the senior care community in a meaningful way, isn't it, Laura?
Absolutely, and there's such a wide spectrum of needs that can be met in a community like this. So, Ada, what kinds of needs do you see that most often when families come in, what kinds of needs do their loved ones have?
Now when the holidays are approaching, families are starting to visit their loved ones and they're seeing a deficiency in, oh, mom's not taking their medication, or, oh, I didn't realize mom didn't have groceries in the refrigerator and is just eating canned soup, or, you know, mom doesn't have dementia, but she's just getting forgetful. So there's, I mean, people that are completely independent and people that need a lot of, you know, help in multiple areas. So I'm just here to guide them through to see if we can need match and, you know, help them find a next best home.
Sometimes the way that I like to put that, Ada, is I'll get family members who will call me and they say, oh, we haven't visited mom since last year over the holidays, and mom's trying to bake the pumpkin pie in the dishwasher, mm-hmm. and I think we have a problem. And I honestly have a story that is hilarious but sad, because I actually had a family member who came from out of town, and it was exactly on the day before Thanksgiving, and she walked into mom's home, and she realized that mom did have, last time she visited her was last year, mom did have a little bit of confusion. She did see some dementia symptoms, but she didn't realize how much mom had declined. And when she walked in, she heard this sound, thumpity, 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 thump. And she said, Mom, what is that? And and mom just kind of looked at her and said, what's the dryer? And the daughter said, well, Mama, that's too loud. That's not the dryer. And she opened up the dryer, and Mom was trying to defrost the turkey that was still frozen in the clothes dryer. And so sometimes we'll see that loss of good judgment, and mm-hmm. it can be extremely serious by the time the family gets there, even if it's just been a few months since they have last visited. And a lot of times, you know, that person with dementia will hide those symptoms. Mm-hmm. They'll have a facade, and they'll look pretty normal for a while. So, you know, we do see that. And so it does get kind of busy in this industry about this time. We do have those stories. And Joe, I know you can attest that now our phone's starting to ring, all of us. And Scott, you'll be seeing that with your clients as well.
Yes. Yeah, it's definitely because for me anyway, it's just as you were saying, Laura, it's just the time of year, there's sort of more of an indwelling, there's more reconnecting with family, and of course there's also a lot more, oops, wait a minute, didn't we talk about doing something about this last Thanksgiving? Mm-hmm. And a year passes.
And unfortunately, I think for Joe and I, a lot of families are waiting too long to make a transition,
mm-hmm.
and you know the transition is a lot harder when their dementia has escalated or where their diabetes is just way too far gone that now they need skilled nursing. So it's just sometimes they wait, oh well, let's just pass this Christmas and then we'll talk about it. Well, Christmas passes and it's already February and mom's still at home, not safe. So Joe can...
Another difficult part of this, Scott, is that the family members who are coming in around this time of year that we're discussing right now is that not only do they realize mom is confused and that she's having some challenges, but they don't really truly understand dementia either. They haven't been made dementia aware. They don't have the
right.
the training, the education to recognize the symptoms. And so we did just recently have a move-in where mom was... keeping her ice cream in the dishwasher, and the family was coming over.
Oh, wow.
And finding the ice cream in the dishwasher and came to us, not really in a crisis mode in their mind. We realized it right off the bat that, oh, dear, we have a problem here. And their thought was, well, she's a little confused, but there's no dementia. And anyway, long story short is she's moved into our memory care now, and she's doing well, but the family had no idea to what extent the dementia had already reached.
Hey, I'd like to ask a question out of that,
sure.
If you don't mind, Laura, out of what Joe just said about the mom putting the ice cream in the dishwasher. I think that sometimes, again, when we're satellite relatives, you know what I mean?
Long distance,
in the same
yeah.
city, sometimes people are busy, quote unquote, and don't spend that quality time, and we can take that kind of behavior. Do you see this, or I'd just like to hear you guys' thoughts on this. It just occurred to me that a lot of that can be put down as, oh, that's kind of quirky, that's kind of cute, or, oh, you don't believe what mom did the other day, but what they don't know is what mom did that night or the day before, and maybe the same behavior. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
There's something cute.
Yeah, it's that dementia denial. And, of course, we talk about this all the time on this show, Scott, that the only antidote for dementia denial is becoming dementia aware, because when you just simply don't know what you don't know. And so, you know, a small little change in someone's behavior when you're around them for an hour or so doesn't seem as big, but when you leave, there could be huge changes in behavior that are really red flags for how much brain function loss this person is experiencing. And so it takes, and it's slow over time, so it takes a lot of understanding and awareness to know that these kinds of symptoms, they start out small, but when we see them, most likely they're going to get worse, and most likely we're not going to be able to stop it, change it, or fix it. So therefore we must become dementia aware and understand we can only manage it. But the earlier we get, just like Ada was just talking about earlier, the earlier we get in to help that family and make them dementia aware, the less likely it is that it's going to be so acute that we cannot help them in assisted living or memory care anymore. Because if we manage it early, then it's not going to get as bad as quickly. So that's really important for the family members to understand. Don't turn your head and pretend like this isn't happening. That dementia denial, we must conquer that. That's so important. Do you agree with that, Joe?
Absolutely. We see it every day, and Ada gets the phone calls every day, and we get more and more of them all the time, especially for memory care. And it's just growing like crazy. I cannot believe the amount of diagnoses of dementia
yes.
that we get.
Yeah, it is a pandemic. It's an epidemic. You know, I noticed in reading some of the background, because Brookdale is such an incredible company nationwide. One of the things I was wondering if you might address, too, and this is Laura Wayman, live with the Adventure Whisper. I'm not Laura Wayman. I'm Scott Cluthie, co-host. But we are live from Vacaville, California, with the Brookdale community there, and very honored to have two of the people that really make it go. Joe Dunham has worked with Laura for many years. He's the executive director there. And Edna Ray, who handles so much marketing outreach and working with and the contact, maybe the first contact the family has with Brookdale there in Vacaville. And one of the things about Brookdale is you handle so many different levels and services. I see so many companies in Houston that really specialize, and that's fine in one area, or one distinction, or even a piece of that distinction. And one of the things I think is of interest to listeners who may be saying, you know, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe we need to look into this a little more right now with Mom or Dad or Uncle Harry or whatever, having to do with learning the residents' personalities. How important is it to, you know, because people think, oh, and then they go into an old folks' home. You know, people have this old model, this old movie. Oh, then they go into the home, and then they're handled the way they're handled. How important is understanding the personality of the resident coming in to have a successful transition?
Well, the biggest part of that, or the most important piece of it for us, is getting to know the resident, you know, during the move-in process or just the inquiry process, is that in assisted living, most companies will tell you that we customize our approach to their care, which we do. The care plans are customized around what their needs are. And so if we don't know their background, if we don't know a lot about their life history, it makes it very difficult to customize our approach to their care. So we do spend a lot of time with the families as much as possible, finding out about their backgrounds and getting to know the residents and their life history so that, you know, especially in memory care, the care staff who work with them on a daily basis, if they know some things about their past, what they did as their profession or what their hobbies were or whatever interests they had, it allows the caregivers to connect directly with them based on what we know about them.
And that's important as well with what Joe is saying with the assisted living and independent living, if those kinds of things are available. But what happens is when someone moves in a community like this where there's assisted living is that
the staff gets to know them as they age in place. And so, of course, there's a bit more time to get that social history and really document that and get to know that person. And in a perfect world, there's always a wonderful opportunity to get to know somebody with dementia through their family. But sometimes when it's a crisis, like what we were talking about, when the family waits so long, then, you know, we really are having to pull out of our toolbox ways to customize care when we don't have a lot of background. So it's like day-to-day learning and changing, because this is an ever-changing landscape. So, you know, choosing a senior living community is a huge decision, and it's very emotional. And so today we really want to talk about help the caregivers that perhaps are listening today that are perhaps needing to make this kind of decision or will be making this kind of decision. We want you to understand that why Brookdale is different, why Joe and Ada both feel that this is a really good choice. How does it benefit you? And I will tell you, Scott, when I travel around the United States, I am in and out of assisted living and memory care from all different corporations and companies and organizations and size. And you know, there's, of course, no one size fits all, but there are many that are not dementia aware. And so I am proud to say that this organization, this building, this community right here with Joe and Ada and Joe's wonderful staff, they are always working on becoming dementia aware. So, of course, I want to say that is why this is different and why it might benefit you. But I will also tell you, I believe, Joe, that you are full in memory care right now, aren't you?
We are full with a wait list, I believe,
mm-hmm.
right, Ada?
Yep.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That tells you a lot.
As I travel around, that the communities that are full and stay full are also almost always dementia aware. Some correlation, eh? What do you think, Joe? You think there might be a correlation to that?
Absolutely, yes. And it doesn't come easy.
It doesn't.
It's a lot
it's
of work.
It's constant learning.
Yes, constant learning.
Yes. I was honored earlier today because I did get to work with down in memory care here at Brookdale Vacaville and just kind of observe and watch and help train staff. And I will tell you, Scott, I learn something new every time I get that opportunity as well. Becoming dementia aware is a lifelong process. But maybe Ada could talk a little bit about some of the other benefits that Brookdale offers that make them different here in Vacaville. You know, of course, there's many Brookdale organizations across the country, so I think there's over 1,000, and these include independent and assisted and memory care. But, you know, I want Ada to talk a little bit about the emphasis on doing the right thing, doing it right, even when no one is watching. That's kind of a motto for you, isn't it, Ada?
Absolutely. I mean, I've been in this community for 6 years. My mom actually worked in this building for 18, and all 18 years she's worked in memory care. My grandmother isn't local. She lives in Mexico. And for my mom and I, it's always been about caring for others in hopes that someone would care for my grandmother. So regardless if someone's watching you or you know, just going that little extra mile to give someone water or get them down to the dining room, our memory care residents might not know our name. They know, oh, she always has a smile, or she stops and gives me a kiss on the cheek. And that really is what Brookdale is all about, programming and the dining experience and making sure our families are happy with the care that we're providing. I've been in this building for a long time. I've seen all the transitions, and Brookdale has definitely set us apart from everybody else. We have amazing regional support and from all different levels, and that's the beauty about being with the corporation, where if Joe and I don't have the answer, we can always phone a friend and find that answer and reach out to our partners. You've been an amazing support to us, Laura, not with just the staff, but our family members. the last time you were here with our families. It was just amazing. Some families that were in assisted living that didn't know Dad had dementia, and yeah, Dad does have some signs of it. So it's just a learning process every time that you're here or any of our other partners as well.
And I'd like to, if I may, give Ada some kudos, because she has been here for 6 years and she has gotten to know the referral agents in this area, and there's several of them who reach out to her on a regular basis. They know that whoever they send to us, whatever clients they have that need some care, some assistance, some living arrangements, some resources, that they can reach out to Ada, and she will always help them. And she's built herself quite the reputation in Vacaville, so I'm very impressed with what she does here, and she's just part of what makes Brookdale in Vacaville the best.
And Joe, as the executive director, that is key for your job, because your job is so big. There's so much that you have to oversee. So building your team is really important, isn't it?
Absolutely. You have to have, for any kind of dementia care, it takes a village, as they say. And I explain that to our staff all the time. We have a very busy building here, and when you have all the different departments that have to work together, you have to have a really strong team to make it work.
And you have to have a strong leader, right,
mm-hmm.
Aiden? We have
yeah.
to have a strong leader here. Absolutely. So, and I think that there's a couple other things I want to talk about before we go on our break here. I think trust is so important, building that trust in the community. Don't you think so, Ada?
Absolutely. Just the trust that Joe has in each one of our departments, in memory care, in the billing, in sales and marketing, in the nursing. Again, it takes a village, and getting down in the trenches when someone doesn't want to take a shower or when someone doesn't want to eat, just getting in there and really understanding what's going on with them. Why don't we want to shower today? Is it hot? Is it cold? Was the approach wrong? Or maybe the food doesn't have enough salt, or it's not sweet enough, whatever it is. I mean, everybody on our team definitely gets down and you know, takes them as our own family. So.
Or why are we trying to flood the building?
Yeah. Yes, we always have challenges, don't we, Joe? Yes. But when we understand, especially dementia from the inside out, it does help us to change our care approach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when someone is flooding a building, but they have dementia and they can't tell us why they're plugging up their sink with items and then turning on the water. Why is that happening? Well, it's because there is some loss of normal brain function. They are simply not processing that correctly, and so it's up to us to figure that out, and there's no way that we can stop it, change it, or fix it. The only thing that we can do at that point is manage it. So the care is tailored for the individual. Every person has different needs. It's like a fingerprint. We all have different fingerprints. So, it's really obvious talking to and listening to both of these folks here. It's very evident that you tailor your programs for each resident, don't you?
Absolutely. You don't have a choice. Everybody has, those without dementia, those just in our assisted living, those who come to us with just basic needs of socialization and meal prep, everybody's very different, and you do have to take a different approach with everybody. And then you've got the family members to deal with as well.
Yes, and sometimes the family members can be every bit as challenging as those that we care for here in the building. Is that correct?
Sometimes more.
Yes, and we need to get back to that fact that the more we educate the families and help them to have realistic expectations about what we can and can't do, that also helps you in your job. We're going to take a really quick short break, and then Scott will take us out and then bring us back in, and perhaps we could talk about some of the challenges that this very difficult job, some of the demands and challenges that it puts on these caregivers, and helping those families to understand the demands on the caregiving staff as well. So we can come back and talk about that. Scott, would you mind taking us out to our break?
Always my pleasure. Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer, author of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, Making Meaningful Connections with the Person Who Has Alzheimer's Disease or Other Dementia or Memory Loss. And don't forget, dear listeners, we are live And so if you will call in, we will be happy to give you a copy of Laura Wayman's bestseller for Johns Hopkins University Press. Her new book's coming out in the spring of 2017. And it's because it's an always growing and evolving field, dementia. And we learn the dimensions with dementia as we become more empowered through the knowledge Laura Wayman shares live today from Brookdale in Vacaville, California. And we're talking with both John Dunham, the executive director there, as well as the lady who's got the go-go going. It's Edna Ray. And Edna Ray is out there connecting with the families and sort of the first front for all of them. But we'd love to hear from you. The call-in line is always the same, 929-477-1393. And we'll be back in 2 minutes with more of Live with the Dementia Whisperer. You're listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in with your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Call 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. We'll be right back.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with. All day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Call in at 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. And now, Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Welcome back, Live with the Dementia Whisperer. This is co-host Scott Cluthie. It's great to have you out there. Remind you of the call-in line. It's 929-477-1393. We're here with you another 30 minutes. We'd love to hear from you. And if you are there, look, there's no silly questions, only silly people like me. So call in, and if you call in today, you'll get a free copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care. We know so many people, it's just the nature of internet radio, they listen after the show, but we do have live listeners here on Blog Talk Radio. There's millions of people that come to Blog Talk Radio every month to hear shows live and, of course, in archives. So we'd love to hear from you, and why not claim a free copy? I also have the chat box open. You can put a question and comment in there for Laura Wayman or Andy, either of our great guests today. And now, it's without further ado, it is Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Hello, Laura.
Hello, Scott. Thank you again for a wonderful introduction. And I am sitting here with Joe Dunham and Ada Ray from Brookdale, Vacaville. And Vacaville is Northern California, just about an hour outside of Sacramento, if anyone's familiar with the area here. And I, as always, am very honored to be here in this community, in this building, because I, in the past, have had the wonderful opportunity to work with Joe, who is the executive director here. And so, Joe, can you take just a moment, tell us about yourself and how did you get into assisted living and this crazy senior care industry?
Sure, I can tell you. I'll try and keep it to the Reader's Digest version, but I did 26 years of retail with Long's Drugstore, and just before they were selling the company, I didn't know anything else but retail, and so I had to make a decision about where I was headed. Anyway, and again, to make a long story short, the last store that I managed was in Lincoln, California, a little bit northeast of Sacramento, that was right in front of a Del Webb retirement community. And in opening that store, I got to know many of the residents who were moving into Del Webb, and I was having a blast with them. And anyway, it kind of led me down that path of wanting to explore this as an option for me, because I knew I couldn't do skilled nursing, but I had been into an assisted living and was quite taken with it, quite amazed at what they offer in assisted living, and that's pretty much how I got into it.
And you have to know Joe and see him in action when he's having a relationship with a senior, one of his residents, or just any senior, because he truly just emits this love, and they love him back. Wouldn't you agree with that, Ada?
Absolutely. When he talks to, especially our ladies, in the morning when he walks in and is pouring coffee and says, "You look fantastic," it's just their eyes just light up. So he definitely truly has a heart for the senior industry and our memory care residents.
And it certainly takes a heart to stay in this field and to do a good job. And so, Ada, tell us a little bit about you. How did you get into this industry?
So I've been in this building for 6 years, but my mom has been here, just retired now in July. She had been here for 18 years, and I never thought I'd be in the senior living industry. I actually have a bachelor's in finance. So I was going to go to the banking world and stocks and bonds and investments and the whole thing.
Oh, no, it's in your blood. You can't get out now.
No, I came in as a receptionist 6 years ago while I was graduating college and just fell in love with our residents coming to Christmas parties or having my first boyfriend come to the front desk and ask me for a piece of candy every night. And so, you know, I just fell in love, and I've done this ever since. So, yeah, this is just where my heart is.
And she does wear her heart on her sleeve. Once again, when she is interacting with her residents, I can just see there's so much love on both sides. And that's so important, because I want to talk a little bit about some of the challenges that we've seen overall in this field. And I think one of the biggest challenges is that there are certain people who get into this and think they're going to make a lot of money. Now, we're all going to laugh, right?
Yeah.
You don't make money in this field, by the way. I mean, you can make a living, but, you know, in social services, you have to have a heart for this, because it's really hard work, isn't it?
Yeah. We can teach tasks. We can teach someone to give a shower or change some Depends or administer medication, but you really can't teach someone to care, to go above and beyond and really do what's right for the patient and or the family.
Mm-hmm.
The heart.
I had a question I want to ask about, specifically about one of the protocols you have there at Brookdale, because I'm maybe other people are doing it, but I just wasn't aware of this, and I think this is really important. When we talk about individualization, you know, and some of the things that Laura shares about Brookdale, and I know the depth of the work that goes on there. Now, the story of Clare Bridge is another story for another day, but you have something called the Clare Bridge Daily Path. And what impresses me is the idea of these cluster groups and individualization around the interests of the resident with others of like mind. Talk a little about that, would you?
So every story, every individual is different. You and I, or Joe and I, both have maybe a finance background, but our life experiences, our careers totally take a different path, especially in dementia.
Right.
So every family, when they move in, fill out a life story, their likes, their dislikes, their family members, their siblings, their kids, their careers, their hobbies, foods, pastimes. It's a very detailed life story. So the daily path is meaningful moments every day that are individualized to each resident. So in the old days, you would do a ball toss as an activity for everybody. Well, I'm not very physical. I don't like working out. But if you got me doing arts and crafts and Pinterest, I'll do it all day. But for Joe,
yeah,
it might be pouring coffee. Or for Betty, it might be getting her nails done and hair braided. So it's daily moments of success for each individual. And we have 30 memory care residents, so it might be 30 different activities or clusters. So get the military men talking, reminiscing about when they were in the military, or baking a pie, or, you know, so getting little clusters, little groups doing different activities that are meaningful, not just generic.
And that,
nice,
of course, Scott, it comes directly from my book, Making Meaningful Moments, and my my activity program called from task to activity to feelings of accomplishment. Because every task that a caregiver, and caregivers are very task-oriented. That's how they're trained. And that's important because there are many tasks that a care staff needs to perform every day. However, along with that, you have to attach that ability for them to engage, even for a meaningful moment, to give both of them feelings of accomplishment. And so, you know, just a little thing, if Joe sends a caregiver down to empty the trash in someone's room and that particular resident has dementia, then they are encouraged to not just walk in, empty the trash, and not say a word, but to walk in and to engage in meaningful conversation, even if it's just for a minute, even if it's just saying, you look great today. Just like Joe practices every day when he's pouring coffee, he doesn't just pour coffee or ask them how they are, he actually helps them to feel good by saying, you look great today. So it's that taking that individual and making sure that you are constantly thinking, how can I make this person feel good? How can I keep them in their happy place? Because the more the residents are in their happy place, the more the caregivers are in their happy place as well. So, Joe, let's talk a little bit, like I said right before the break, let's talk a little bit about some of these demands and expectations that even families put on these caregivers, and it's helpful to make that family aware of what we can and can't do. So, for example, when somebody first comes, what kinds of things do families expect us to do?
Well, when it comes to families, and every family is different, just like every resident is different, and so we kind of have to drill down and make sure that we understand what their expectations are and then work within those parameters to make sure we can make it happen for them as much as possible. One of the interesting things that I've learned over the years is that when a family brings their loved one into assisted living or memory care, their expectation right off the bat is, well, first of all, their belief is that nobody's going to take as good a care of mom as I do, but they can't do it at home anymore, and so here's the next best option for us at this point. So their expectation at that point is that we're going to make this home-like for them and make it as much like their own home as we possibly can. And it's one of those challenges that we face that sometimes we're able to get to that point and sometimes we can't get quite to where the family thinks we should be. But by treating everybody individually and having those customized care plans, we can work around that to make sure we're doing everything we can for each resident to make it home-like and to make it as much like how the daughter would take care of mom.
And at the same time with dementia, we also have to simplify as well because there's so much information coming at that person who has a broken thinker, so much for them to think about. So we also need to step in and help the staff as well as the family learn to think for them, in especially during transition time. So that's also important. You know, what can we do and what can't we do when someone has loss of normal brain function? We can't stop it, change it, or fix it, and often families want us to do that for them, but we can help them to manage it. So it's all such a a huge learning curve for each individual with their, like you said, their family members, that individual. It's difficult, but in a way I find it almost fascinating, don't you? I mean,
exactly.
It's such an adventure. And that's the kind of heart we have to have. I think that if I could change anything in the industry, I would clone folks just like you to take on this very different approach, because it's difficult. I just spent an hour and a half in your memory care, and your staff is doing such a wonderful job. But it is going from one resident to the next resident, and then back to that other resident, and doing the same thing over and over and over again, thinking for them constantly, and you know, passing that baton. I've got Betty, you take Susie. I've got Joe, you take Jim. Whatever it is. And just learning to keep that relay going down there. That it's constant work, constant. So
it's draining. It's physically draining, emotionally draining, mentally draining. It is. It's a very difficult job, and especially nowadays, everybody's so busy in their personal lives away from work. They have so much going on with church and school and sports that they come to work here, and it's just exhausting sometimes. And so we have to provide them with as much support as we can, with as much training that's going to help them do their job on a daily basis, and hope and help them to feel good about their jobs, and when they walk away at the end of their shift, to feel like they've made a difference.
And Ada, what kinds of things have you seen happen differently here? What, you know, you've been here for a while now. And so what kinds of things have you seen change for the better, to make it more challenging? What kinds of things would you like to share with our listeners about the changes you've seen?
Well, we recently have a new memory care, or Claire Bridge program director, and Cindy just gets down in the trenches. Cindy has just been a tremendous asset. The showers, when you're brand new, when you move into a community and you don't know anybody, you haven't formed those relationships, you haven't seen that trust, that you don't trust a stranger off the bat. So getting down and talking with them and learning about their story, their broken story, because sometimes it's not their real story. We've just pieced parts of it together. But really getting down there and listening and understanding, well, I can't give Joe a shower until he has 3 cups of coffee. Well, that's why he refused this morning. Getting out into the courtyard and playing music, just being silly. That was one of my funnest events, is just going out in the courtyard and Judy, one of our mentees, just playing this big gong that was bigger than her. It's just amazing. Every day back there is different. Every day back in memory care, every moment is different. And just walking by and just seeing their smiles for that split second, or when someone who's not verbal and says, oh, my husband's coming today. Oh, my goodness, I haven't heard her talk in 2 weeks. It's an ever-revolving moment every day. So the programming has gotten so much better. Just the quality of the care to the residents has gone up. I've seen it when it was not so good and when it's been great. The quality of our caregivers and our residents is just amazing every day. So,
yeah. It's pretty special, isn't it?
Yeah.
They give us gifts all
yes.
the time. Jill, can you share some stories about your residents and help our listeners to understand how assisted living and memory care can provide a quality of life, especially to someone who calls Brookdale home or might be calling Brookdale home. Tell us a little bit about some differences that you've made in life. The person comes and like Ada said, they're broken. And they're just not able to care for themselves. And the difference you see when we don't, especially with dementia, we don't stop it, fix it, or change it, but we manage it. And there is improvement, isn't there?
Well, you always strive for that. And some days are better than others. Some days you have more accomplishments and more positive and more changes in behavior. that we've been able to manage. One of the big things, or one of the, well, I learned from Laura how to go into their world and not expect them to come into ours. And that was a huge, well, it was huge for me years ago when I finally realized, you know, duh, that's exactly what you have to do. And the only way you're going to be successful at all in managing their care is to do just that. And so I did have a situation where there was a resident who, I had just hired a CNA who was quite proud of the fact that she had a lot of dementia care experience. And so in her first week with me, she had a challenge where a resident all of a sudden started yelling that somebody stole her purse, and she was screaming at the top of her lungs, help me, somebody stole my purse. And I tell this story a lot, so you may have heard it already. But so the CNA, the caregiver, was addressing her and telling Alice, no, Alice, nobody stole your purse. Remember, it's in your room, which is one of the worst things you can say to somebody who's especially, not only with dementia, but agitated with dementia. And so this went on for a few minutes, and I finally called the caregiver over, and I said, you know, this isn't really working, so let's try a different approach. I want you to go back to Alice and say, you know what, Alice, you're right. Nobody should have stolen your purse. I'm going to take care of it. I'll fill out a report, and I'll take care of this. And the caregiver looked at me like I was from outer space, and I said, you know what, why not give it a try, because what you're doing isn't working. So she rolled her eyes and walked back over to the resident, and she said, you know what, Alice, you're right. That shouldn't have happened. I'm going to fill out a report, and I'll take care of it. And at that time, 2 seconds later, the resident looked at the caregiver and said, thank you. And that was the end of the discussion. So that's one of the biggest things that I've learned about dementia care and training those who are taking care of our residents, that you have to go into their world and don't expect that they're going to come into yours.
And it's so much the opposite of everything we've learned all our life and everything we train the care staff if dementia is not involved. It's exactly the opposite. And so changing their perception is hard, and it takes practice. I have to practice this all the time, because the first thing I want to do is ask questions, give options, try and reason with that person. And that's fine if you have a normal brain, but when your thinker is broken, you're asking someone to think, and their thinker is broken, so it causes agitation. And Ada, I know you probably experience this with family members. They come in and they say, well, we're telling Mom that she's got to move here because she has dementia. And you see, it's almost horrifying because you recognize how that's exactly the opposite of what you should do, right?
Absolutely. Just the other day, 2 days ago, I was on the phone with a registered nurse from Kaiser talking about her mother-in-law and how she was going to take her mother-in-law to all these places to pick one. And what I told her was,
oh, wow,
this is the preliminary, narrow it down to 2 places, and then take your mother-in-law to these 2 places. And so, you know what, I've looked at everything, and these are the top 2 that I love for you. You pick out of the 2. So giving them too many options is overwhelming and agitating,
right?
Too much information, too much of everything. So she's like, I never thought of that. So, I mean, yeah, we want to empower our family members to make their decision, but when their thinker is broken or not quite broken, not dementia yet, some symptoms, you want to give them the option. So narrow it down to 2, make it simple,
right.
Make it easy.
Right. So the more dementia that they experience, the more loss of normal brain function they experience, the more we have to think for them.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to meet them at their level of loss and their level of ability. So what you're saying is exactly right. There may be somebody who can choose from 2, so you want to give them 2, but there may be somebody that's
too much
information. And so it's a constant learning experience, because it's, like I said, so opposite of having the conversation, sharing all kinds of options, letting that person choose. And we have to understand, you're not taking that away from them. Dementia already took it away. And that's very hard for us to learn because of the way that we have always dealt with this and with somebody who has a normal brain. So it does take practice. practice, and sometimes I even laugh at myself because I will walk up to somebody who has dementia. I can tell by the look on their face they're very confused, and yet I will still fall into the old habit of saying, like I walk up to you, Joe, I can see that you have, which he doesn't, but I'm going to pretend, we're going to imagine, I can see that he's confused, he has dementia symptoms, and so I walk up and I say the usual, how are you doing today, Joe? I just asked him to think. And Joe is so very good at this because, just like Ada was talking about earlier, instead of saying, would you like some coffee, he says, you look great today, as he's pouring coffee. It's that little twist, that little change in our insight, in our perception about how to think for them, that at first is so uncomfortable because it almost feels like we're taking away their dignity, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
But it's learning that and watching that person with the inability to process, watching them at all times, and if they get that cloud of confusion that can happen in a second, in the blink of an eye, then we know, oh, it's time for me to think for them before that makes them anxious. Mm-hmm. It takes practice, though, doesn't it?
Every day.
Every day. Yes.
And
constantly helping that staff because they are so trained. It is such a part of their core to say, would you like fish or chicken? And that seems like such a great idea. It is for assisted living. Would you like fish or chicken? But that in itself can cause havoc with somebody who has dementia because you're asking them to think with a broken thinker. So we had to learn that the hard way with some very big challenges when I've worked with Joe in the past, and it just seems so opposite and so difficult for us to really learn that, to learn when we had a lady in our memory care who would constantly get out of the secure environment, and we could never, ever, ever tell her to go back in because she was very independent, very spicy lady, she would get so upset, and if the caregivers would try and bring her back in, she would resist. But if we would just simply go out and say, oh, your son's on the phone, he wants to talk to you, she'd just run back in. Even if he wasn't on the phone, by the time she got back in, she might forget he was not even on the phone. But that just saying you can't go out instead of saying you can come in. We want you to come in for this reason instead of you can't go out. It was such a huge change in our perception, wasn't it?
It was a huge change. And then the nice part about it is once I got it down, once I learned it and started training the staff to do that, once you start experiencing the successes,
yes,
then you get kind of good at it at that point and you branch out and try other things that, you know, you run the risk of it working or not working. But once you start experiencing some success with that, it enables you to go further and broaden your scope.
Absolutely. That is really important. And, Scott, I'm sure you experience this as well when you are if you're helping to do a video about one of the buildings that you work with, one of the communities. I mean, you can walk through and you can hear those caregivers that are still needing to learn that. I bet you can.
Oh, yeah. And like you said, Laura, as much as I've learned being around you, I have to remember myself because, well, tomorrow I'll be at two facilities and I'll be in another one the day after that for networking. But the residents are there. And I want to interact in a way with them that's humane and also dementia aware. And so that's like top-of-the-mind awareness. And I think that really arcs back to what we talked about with Brookdale, with the level of the personalization of understanding who the person is. And I think that can make such a difference in the way a lot of that is also presented to the client.
Well, as always, we are already out of time. The time just flies by. I don't know where it goes. So I want to thank so much. I want to thank you, Joe Dunham, for allowing me to come today, and Ada Ray, thank you so much. You both are just such an inspiration for me. I really am so honored to work with you, and thank you to all of those who are joining us today. You know, we recognize the courage it takes to reach out for help on this, and this is the most difficult journey of dementia care. Nothing in your life can prepare you to care for a loved one with any cause of dementia. And I feel truly honored that you came to us today seeking our support as well as the support of any of those in our listening audience. Well, today I have a closing thought. It's from the Peanuts cartoon, and it just says, just being there for someone can sometimes bring hope when all seems hopeless. Thanks again, Scott. You are my best bud, and we will be talking soon. Thanks
Absolutely.
For being here and supporting us.
And thanks to all the great people out at Brookdale, Vacaville, and we'll thank you for out there, listeners, for joining us on Live with the Dementia Whisperer. Check out the archives, and there's more to come. In another 2 weeks, we have another live show, so do go to Laura Wayman's website, laurawayman.com, sign up for the newsletter, and get in touch on Facebook with the Dementia Whisperer. Till then, have a great day, everybody. You've been listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, featuring Laura Wayman. Get your copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care and connect with Laura at laurawayman.com and join the Dementia Whisperer's newsletter. Send email questions, ideas, and comments to help@laurawayman.com and join Laura Wayman on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. This is Scott Cluthy, co-host and executive producer. Join us next time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman.